scripture lesson today, you see it there in the bulletin, comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. While you're looking that up, you know what Moses does with coffee, don't you? He brews it. It's in the Bible. I didn't make that joke up. You're about to look right at it. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Sorry, Martha. The Hebrew writer, and we don't know. There's so much speculation. We'll know one day who wrote these words, but just the beautiful strength of these words. I want you to listen carefully. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man, and when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken away, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things had not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even though he was past age and Sarah was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. May God add his blessings to these words as we seek him out in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we draw you in close, as we prepare to hear these words, I am reminded I did not come up with this on my own. This is given to me from you, and it is for your glory that it is sent out, and that it be returned as such, Father. Pray these words touch our heart and cause us to be strengthened and think and grow and be taught, so that we may go from here showing the same love, mercy, grace, and faith that you have taught us, so that others will know Jesus and others will not find themselves wanting in the end. We thank you, Father, for these things. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Faith. That is a word that we use a lot. Faith. I have no idea. I tell you this all the time. I have to go to class to learn how to preach. And it makes me laugh because I'm pretty sure I got a pretty good handle on how to do it. But in these classes, we have to learn things like the importance of the worship part of the service. It's not just about the message. You, pastor, have to sit down and plan out your worship service with Christian education and with the stewardship committee and with the music and worship committee. And you have to pick out and you have to make sure that everything comes together. You have to do that. No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a little insight into me. Are you ready? I don't have a clue what I'm doing. It seems to have worked out pretty well. I never know what she's going to pick. Now, there's certain things I've learned as a man. Don't interfere with a woman when she's doing her job. Because if you get in the middle of it and you're not doing it right, oh boy. And so she picks out the music. She picks out all that. I don't pay any attention to it. We sang Great Is Thy Faithfulness this morning. The sermon title is Faith at a Distance. She picked the music and gives it to Diane before I give the sermon title. Every Sunday, it hammers in that way. That's called faith. We use that word a lot. And sometimes I think we start to take it for granted. What is faith? Faith is confidence or trust in a person or thing, or the observance of an obligation from loyalty or fidelity to a person, promise, engagement, or a belief that is not based on proof. You know, Peter Williams holds that the classic Christian tradition has always valued rationality and does not hold that faith involves complete abandonment of reason. Quoting Moreland, faith is defined as trust in and commitment to what we have reason to believe in. That's faith. You don't see it, but you believe it. More demonstration? This is going to turn off, I'm pretty sure. Look at that. Go turn back on again. How about that? That's called faith. That's in its simplest forms. Faith. I know that there's electricity in that wall. I don't see it. If you want a demonstration of it, I'll stick my finger in the socket. Somewhere miles away from here is a generating station making electricity. And right there it is. You don't think about it when you throw the switch on. You just walk in. Hey, I know there's a switch. Boink, and turn it on. Regarding doubting Thomas, Moreland, who was a great writer, great preacher, defined it as this. Williams points out that Thomas wasn't asked to believe without evidence. He was asked to believe on the basis of the other disciples' testimonies. Thomas initially lacked the firsthand experience of the evidence that had convinced them. Moreover, the reason John gives for recounting these events is that what he saw is evidence. Jesus did other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Faith. A lot of people give old Doubting Thomas a hard way to go. Personally, I liked it. So today, I want to hand you three people who had faith at a distance. Three people that I guarantee you don't know, because I didn't know till I began a long research into it. The first person I want to talk to you about is a man by the name of Witold Pilecki. Anybody in here know him? Anybody in here know the name Auschwitz? The great German concentration camp? One of the ugliest places on earth. You still mention that word today, and people, ugh. You say Auschwitz to them, and believe you me, I know a lot about it because I've read a lot about it. Auschwitz was one of the most horrid places on earth. Near hell, if you'd like. 1.7 million Jewish people died in that prison in the span of about 5 years. I'm not going to drag you into the gory details of it. Witold Pilecki. And I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Witold Pilecki is a Polish national. He was a man of great weight. He carried himself correctly. And his people, the Polish Jews, the Polish people, because I got news for you, don't you ever forget this. The people that died in those concentration camps weren't all Jews. They were regular, normal people who are not of Jewish heritage that offended the Nazi government, and they were drug in there. And they were from Poland and Austria and Germany and America. Witold Pilecki said, "Let me get arrested. Give me a fake document. I want to go into Auschwitz because we know what's going on in there. Let me get arrested to go in as a Polish national." So Witold volunteered to go into Auschwitz. Why? Because he believed that the story wasn't being told. At the time of the war, all they thought Auschwitz was an internment camp. Just a place to park everybody until the war was over. The Allies didn't realize what was going on, and the Soviets, who were within striking distance, wouldn't have nothing to do with it because they didn't want to be bothered. Witold Pilecki had himself arrested and drug into that camp. He rode in on a rail. He was beaten, tortured, everything you could imagine happened. What did Witold do? He formed the ZAL party with inside of Auschwitz and got news to the outside world by way of secret, whatever they did. They built a radio out of smuggled parts and sent transmissions outside. And what happened? The Allies came and liberated that camp. Witold Pilecki had faith from a distance that things would happen. And what was he given for this? In 1947, the Soviets, who then took over Poland, executed him because of what he did in that camp. But he had faith at a distance. He loved his people and his home and freedom so much that as he was being sent to die in a phony trial, he said, "Poland will be free." Anybody know what happened after that? What happened in 1989? The wall fell, and guess who's free today? Poland. Matter of fact, Witold in 2005 got given medals for it, the highest medal his country had to give. Faith at a distance. I'd like to introduce you to a lady born in Roanoke, Virginia in 1920, August 1st, this month. As she died of cervical cancer in October of in 1951, her name is Henrietta Lacks. Anybody ever heard of her? Everybody in this room owes something to Henrietta. Henrietta was born in Roanoke, Virginia, and got sick. Henrietta was a young black woman in the 20s, in a bad part of time. She was impoverished. She was barely educated. And she got sick. She became seriously ill, and she got sent to the world-famous Johns Hopkins Hospital. And at that hospital, her cancer was misdiagnosed, and Dr. George Gay, G-E-Y, was so angry about it, he obtained a tissue sample from her. And growing what soon to be a fatal tumor for medical research, Henrietta Lacks, to this day, her cells are given the HeLa cells. They have been cultivated over and over again. And cells from Henrietta have been grown to fight and destroy that awful disease, cancer and tumors, and make proper diagnoses. The impact that the HeLa cells have, they destroyed polio, identified herpes, leukemia, influenza, hemophilia, Parkinson's disease. The cells helped uncover the secrets of cancer, cloning, genetic mapping, and the effects of radiation on human tissue. What makes them so special? Diane Daniel, assistant professor in the Department of, and I love saying this, microbiology and molecular cell biology technology. That sounds really cool, doesn't it? That's what I'm going to become. at the Eastern Virginia Medical Schools has worked with her cells since 1989. They are the go-to cells. Why? Because they are robust. They have been known to contaminate other cell cultures in labs. In fact, they are responsible for so many improvements in sterile culture conditions in labs that we have grown from them, from a simple woman out of Roanoke, Virginia in 1951. What does she get for all of it? Her family has never been recognized. Her descendants still don't get the recognition that she deserves. She was asked as she was dying to become part of this, and she consented if it would help. That's called faith at a distance. Number three, you got tissues, grab them. I'm sorry, it even chokes me up. This is the hard one. Alexandria Scott, let's call her Alex, that's what she likes. She was born in Connecticut in 1996. She was diagnosed with neuroblastoma, an extremely rare type of childhood cancer. This was before she was one. In 2000, after she turned 4 years old, she told her mama that she wanted to help and start a lemonade stand to raise money for doctors to help other kids like they helped me. Her first lemonade stand raised $2,000 and led to the creation of Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. Bet you've heard of that one, ain't you? Alex continued her lemonade stands throughout her life, ultimately raising over $60 million toward cancer research. Alex passed away in 2004 at the age of 8. And today, there's a national fundraising weekend every year in June called Lemonade Days, and there's 10,000 volunteers at the lemonade stands across the world. I think they even bottle some lemonade for a certain period of time and sell it, and I've had it. She had faith at a distance. She stood and looked off to something that was greater than her. She carried that faith. They define what we should look at faith as. Brothers and sisters, from time to time, we forget what faith really means. Hey, you got faith in Jesus Christ? Yeah, I got that. No. That statement should be held a little bit more regal. Yes, I carry faith in my Savior, Jesus Christ. I carry faith that God exists and gave Jesus to die. I carry faith that someday, I'm a stranger in this world. I'm going home to my country. Faith at a distance. Here's the problem. We all have this word on our lips and we all use it, faith. And yet, what do we see sometimes when we really want faith to work? You can tell me, because I'm going to tell you. You don't see nothing sometimes, do you? Sometimes you have faith. Go ahead and nod your head. It's okay. I'm about to give you permission. I'm going to give you a secret. Sometimes you don't see your faith. I have this faith. I have this faith. Maybe you don't see directly what's happening. Why? Because we're human. We want to see our faith be transformed instantly. Like, I don't know. I have faith that, all the lights are going to be green this Sunday morning as I'm late for church again, so I don't have to stop at any of them red lights all the way to church. Father, can you help me out with that? And what happens? All of them are red. You know what that lesson is, don't you? I can almost hear the voice.
That's called patience, Paul.
But I have faith in you.
Thank you.
We get lost in that word sometimes because people challenge us on it. How in the world can you have faith in something you ain't never seen? Anybody in this room ever seen Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about pictures or what you think he looks like when you close your eyes. I mean the literal version if he walked up to you right now. Anybody in here ever seen him? Put your hands up if you have. Because if you've seen him, I'm going to talk to you. Do you believe in him? Say amen.
Amen.
Why? What?
She died on You've never seen him. You know what happens when the world starts at you? Why do you believe in something you ain't never seen? The man at the beginning of this said it very carefully. You have to put this in your head. We have faith at a distance. Because we have seen the evidence. Where's the evidence?
Right here. Right here in his book. Right here in the world all around you. Right here in the flowers that grow. The anniversaries that happen. The births that take place. Right here in the Bible. Bible stands for what? Basic instructions before leaving earth. That's the faith we have. We haven't seen it, but we've seen the evidence of it. I don't see the electricity going into the plug socket where that thing's plugged in, but I've seen the evidence of it. I've seen generating stations once. Truth be known, I work in them from time to time. I know that there's air all around me, although on the hottest days of the year it never seems to move, but I know it's there because it blows and I feel it, but I don't see it. You can't see the air, you can see what it does. I know that there's air in the tires of my truck. Yeah, there are. I hate to look out there and see a flat tire. I can't see the air, but I can see the evidence of it. I can see the tires are held up. That is my faith in Jesus Christ. I have never seen him, but I have seen the evidence of him. How? I have seen people come to me and talk to me about Jesus Christ as if they just sat down and had tea with him because they love him that much. Because they believe that strongly. Because even though their faith is being tested at a distance, they know what's coming. The African impala can jump a height of 10 feet straight up in the air. 10 feet. It's taller than that cross. 10 feet straight up in the air. And can jump a distance of 30 feet up and out, 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in any enclosure, in any zoo, with a 3.5-foot wall. That tall, right? That tall. They won't cross it. Why? These animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are free from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fear allow us to be entrapped by. Say amen right there.
Amen.
I'll step over a 3-foot wall. I might not see what's on the other side, but I'll jump over it. We have faith in what we can't see, and that frees us from the world of sin. When I get struggling hard, and that happens pretty much every day, pretty much every hour of every day, I remind myself that he's got something going on for each one of us. And people will come to a pastor and ask him the hardest question that a pastor gets asked. Why did something bad happen to me? I don't know. I don't know. Can I give you the standard answer? Do you want to hear the standard answer? Because God has something else in plan for you. And that doesn't always work for people. Christians can understand that. The world doesn't. We need to teach them. God has his reasons. They're not my reasons, but I have faith in him. Why did this boy leave this earth so soon? Why didn't I get that job? Why is it a constant struggle to do everything? Why is it that everything seems suddenly so right, suddenly turns upside down? I don't know. Keep asking me, because maybe I'll come up with an answer. But my standard answer is, I don't know. I don't know what God's plans are. But I have faith in him that has brought me through the fire. I can't tell you how many times he's going to do the same for you. And that's where we separate ourselves from the world, brothers and sisters, by hanging ourselves onto that faith that we can only have from a distance. Genesis 15. And after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram, in a vision. So do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Now, first of all, I really wish God would talk to me every now and then. I'm jealous of old Abraham, because I'd love to hear him. Maybe I wouldn't, Maybe he'd like to tell me about the donuts I shouldn't be eating. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Verse 5. You got to smile when you read this. When you're reading the Bible, you got to turn everything off around you and just step in like you're watching a really cool movie. Verse 5. He took him outside. That means, stop. That means the Lord took Abram outside the tent. Said, come here. Come here. I want to show you something. Then he took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Can you count the stars? You ever tried that? We all did as kids, didn't we? Lay out there on your back. All right, there's one, and there's two, and there's... Man, I want a popsicle. That's about how it ends, isn't it? And we are all faith from a distance, faith at a distance. Why? We sang that child song growing up, didn't you? Father Abraham had seven sons. Many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Come on! I am one, and so are you. Come on! As we go marching through. Love that song. And it's the truth. We're all from him. Did he see it? No. Did he know that old Paul Letterman III had been born and would become the tractor king of Frederick County? No, and that still hasn't happened yet. But I've got faith at a distance that it will. We question. And we may need to see nothing. But God sees us. And though we may not understand some of the things that happens, though we continue to have our faith, and sometimes what we think should be doesn't happen, we wonder and we may see nothing, but God sees us. During the Blitz of London, a father and his son were running from a building that had just been bombed when a shell exploded nearby and left a large hole out in the middle of the yard, the court in front. And the bombs were falling, and there was no shelter. And the father jumped into the hole and called to his son, jump in here, in the darkness, jump in here. And the boy ran to the edge where he had seen his father last, but he couldn't see him because it was black, and the lights were out, and the bombs were falling, and explosions, and buildings on fire. And he shouted down to his father, I can't jump because I can't see you. And the father hollered back up to him, jump. I can see you, and you will be safe. That's faith. That's us being looked at by Him Almighty. I see you. I see your faith. Some of the things you'll do, you'll never see the result of. James Gresham Machen says the New Testament never says that man is saved on account of his faith. He's right. New Testament never says that a man is saved by his faith, but always that he is saved through his faith. And by means of faith, faith is merely the means which the Holy Spirit uses to apply to the individual soul the benefits of Christ's death. Say amen. That's beautiful, ain't it? We may never see some of the things that we long for, that we want. We go back to that scripture for a moment. In a 13th verse, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. I would love to come in here on a Sunday morning and see these pews side to side, front to back, packed. I ask for it all the time. God says, not yet. Maybe not in my time here. I have asked God to allow me to be a great preacher and do great things with it. It's not happening yet. I'm not on television. Could you imagine me loose on TV? I'd preach from a tractor. And we struggle with it. We ask for Him for things in our job, for children in our family, for those members of our family and our extended family to please get them to come to Christ, and we pray for it, and we have faith that it will be answered, and we have got to remind ourselves, you may not see it happen. But it will. It could. So our faith is strengthened in the evidence that Jesus Christ died for us and that God watches over us at a distance for now. Then comes the hard part. We've been taught that Christ gave us hope and that our faith in it is what drives us, unseen from a distance, to walk to a cross, to know He was going to suffer. You should read those words constantly, especially His prayer at Gethsemane, especially when He prayed until the drops felt like blood and He was, "Father, I don't want to do this. I'm scared." And the Father said, "It'll be all right. I can see you." Sent the angels down to strengthen Him. He walked to a cross, to a suffering, to a beating, to His own death. By faith, that what He would do would be yet to come. 2,000 years later, we still seek Him. Because of what He did, nobody else could do. There was no other person, no other individual, nobody anywhere that could have ever done that. Nobody on this earth ever living before Him or after Him could lay down their life and do what they did. But there are many that live by faith every day in the things they do now that will bear fruit later on. Brothers and sisters, that's a Christian. Faith from a distance. And we've got to be ready to answer when the faith calls back, even though it might not make any sense. It's a joke, and I'm going to keep fooling around until I get in trouble for it, and it's coming. It's a joke I make all the time. I ain't going to no Africa. It's too hot over there. I got bad news for you. My big mouth is going to find me wound up over there yet. And not because you all send me. Something's going to happen. Hey, Paul, guess where you're going for 2 weeks? I'm going to the Henry Ford Museum. Only if it's in Africa. When God calls, you better be ready to answer. A man fell off a cliff. And as he was falling on his way down, grabbed onto a tree limb and held on for all that he was worth. The only thing between him and certain death was holding on to that tree limb. And he began to holler, "Is there anybody up there?" And a voice answered,
"I am. I am the Lord. Do you believe in me?"
"Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe. But I can't hold on much longer."
"That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch."
A brief pause. "Is there anybody else up there?" Have to be ready. Because your faith is going to travel on. It's going to show other people. It's going to be from a distance, but somebody's going to cross that path. And they're going to see it, and they're going to grow from it. Our faith is at a distance sometimes, and we may not see it happen in a distance. We provide for somebody else that can benefit from it. I love this story. I don't know if I've ever read it here before. I've thought about it, and I want to read it. The following was found in a baking powder can wired to the handle of an old pump that offered the only hope of drinking water on a very long, seldom used trail across Nevada's Aramagosa Desert. I got it set up now. It read as follows. "This pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer in it and it ought to last for 5 years. But the washer dries out and the pump has to be primed. Underneath the big white rock, I buried a bottle of water out of the sun, cork up. There's enough water in there to prime the pump, but not if you drink it first. Pour about 1/4, let her soak to wet the leather, then pour the rest in medium fast and pump like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it for the next feller. Signed, Desert Peace, Pete. P.S. Don't go drinking the water first. Prime the pump with it and you'll get all you can hold. Huh? That's faith at a distance. That's us. Don't go shooting off. Get filled up. And then we can fill, and we can add, and we can prime. And when you're ready to go, and when the world comes at you and says, hey, you're kind of dumb. Yes, I am. Thank you very much. I'll continue to be dumb believing in Jesus Christ. Let me talk to you about him. I don't want to hear about it. Let me talk to you about him. I don't want to hear about it. Certain boy, 18 years old, ran away from home, more or less. Announced to his parents, I'm moving out. I want to live the good life. And he lived a good life. Parents kept praying for him. Hey, come to church this Sunday. No, thank you. Did too much of that. Got enough of it. Boy got married. Let's go to church. No, we ain't doing that. The boy had children. Let's take them to church. Oh, God. Only if there's nothing better to do. And the boy got crushed down in life and found his way with faith at a distance, standing at a pulpit in Longmeadow Church of the Brethren. I'm telling you, your faith at a distance is strong enough yet that you cannot begin to imagine. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I bless you all. I love you all. Stay strong in your faith. Remember, just because you don't see it happening doesn't mean it ain't happening. And just because you might not see nothing around you, Jesus Christ has laid the way and the Father Almighty's got his eye on you. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the things that we have not seen. We have not seen your Son. And yet he's as real and there as anything we can touch and lay our hands on. We've seen the evidence of it. We know he's real. Father, we ask for your strengthening for our faith, that it doesn't come into a beating by the world. That when we think that we have done all we can do, there's still more we can do. I've prayed for that person for 40 years and nothing's happened. Well, you've got to pray for them for 41 years, 42 years. It's not for us to decide when or what or who answers it. It's for you to decide. It's for them to decide. But it's our job to keep that faith going, even if it's only at a distance. Abraham saw it. Was never allowed to see the fruition of it, and yet look around. Can't be counted like the sands on the seashore, the stars in the sky. And for as much as you did for him, imagine how much you could do for us. We continue in that faith. And so we make a proclamation to you, Father. Jesus Christ is your Son, the only way to heaven. He died, fought off hell and death, and rose again. And our victory comes from a belief in him and the faith of the things that are promised. We thank you, Father. Strengthen us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.